My heart's been broken and crushed this week. Started on Monday with someone saying, "Matt, you're a hypocrite." They had the courage to come and say that. And I thank them for that. Because God began to use that to work on my heart. And then Tuesday, happened to go back to a place where God did something very great in my life, and that was at Brooklyn Tabernacle. And I had to spend the day with my two oldest and my wife and John and Ashley as we sat there and listened to God speak. And so I come back from there, you know, you spend the whole day, it seemed like I spent the whole day crying Tuesday. Had to get up and worked Wednesday. And then Thursday, came over here to set up for the Creation of Christ class. And if you're not coming to that, there's still 2 weeks left. You can come where we going from Genesis through the ascension of Christ, and we're only on week 6 this Thursday. And I came in here into this sanctuary knowing I was going to preach today and knowing what I had to preach about. When I say I had to preach it, I struggled with even bringing this message this morning. But I stood right here, the baptismal was still up, and I stood up here and I tried to picture you all sitting out here in the sanctuary, and the presence of God just overwhelmed me. I could do nothing but weep. Came into the store, and the employees were like, "You all right?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm all right." Came back over here Friday and helped empty out the baptismal, and I shared with some of you in Sunday school class how God said you need to go make something right. That's how my heart's been all this week. It's full of tears. Full of tears for God's church, for His people. And then He asked me to preach this sermon on this thing, and I struggle with it. Because if we don't see Jesus' love today, we'll take it the wrong way. So that's how my heart's been. So I'll ask you how again, how's your heart? How's your heart with God? We have a wonderful worship time this morning where we sang and worshiped God. And I love it. But the sermon this morning, if our hearts aren't right, then that worship was just from our lips and not from our heart. So I like to pray. Father, I'm asking you to have your way here this morning. God, we want to be in your presence. We want you to come. We want you to speak to our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way. We don't want to be about us. We want to be about you. I want to be about your work. Holy Spirit, come. Breathe on us today. Speak to us through your word. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Got your Bibles? It'll be up on the screen behind you. We're in Matthew. And sorry, but if I start crying here this morning, that's all right. I just want you to know that I'll try to regain my composure and finish through this. I want to read to you some of what Jesus said, and I want you to picture yourself Picture us. And by the way, if you're a Sunday school teacher here this morning, if you're an elder on the leadership team, if you're a pastor, or if you're someone in ministry doing the work of God, Jesus is talking to us this morning, not just everybody sitting here. Some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law arrived in Jerusalem to see Jesus. And you know the Pharisees, they like to try to trick Jesus with questions. They tried to slip him up. And they asked him a question. Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. Jesus replied, why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of a father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as the commands from God. Then Jesus called the crowd to come and hear. Listen, he said, and try to understand, it is not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? Jesus replied, every plant not planted up by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch. Then Peter said to Jesus, explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. Don't you understand yet? Jesus asked. Anything you eat passes through the stomach and goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. I want to talk to you a little bit about tradition. How many of you want to be a church of tradition? Anybody? Anybody want to be a church of tradition?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Is tradition wrong? Did Jesus say here that tradition was wrong? No, he didn't tell them that he wasn't going to tell his disciples never to wash their hands. What he was saying was, tradition can be a very deadly thing. You see, there's all kinds of traditions. And I sat here this week, and as I've been meditating on this, I wonder what Jesus would do if he was here in our church today and he said, and we came to him and we said, Jesus, would you come teach us? But you only have 45 minutes for Sunday school class. You have 1 hour to do it here on Sunday morning because I got a dinner sitting at home waiting. I got the football game coming on. I got the basketball game coming on. I got baseball coming on. I wonder what Jesus would really tell us. Do we want traditional church? Or do we want a church where God really moves and does great things for us? I don't know. I sit there and I ask that question. Several things stuck out to me in this passage. Let me tell you a tradition that I have. And if you've ever heard me pray here for a meal, you probably will say, yeah, I remember you hearing this. I pray over meals at home with my family with the same words that I heard my father pray when, and Vinny's laughing, but heard my father pray year after year, day after day, lunch after lunch, dinner after dinner. And it's like this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this food we're about to receive. We ask that you bless our bodies, bless the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, where he heard that, where he come up with that, I have no idea. But I found myself saying that over and over again. Father, we bless the food that we're about to receive. That's tradition. It's deadly. There's no heart for God in that. It's just praying because I gotta pray. It's not praying, Father, thank you for this food that you've given to us. It gives me strength to serve you. It gives me a heart that longs for you. There's no heart in that. And I've prayed that prayer here many times. Yeah, I might throw a different word or two in there, but it's similar. Tradition. Do we want a church that is traditional? Traditions. Now, why do we have traditions? Let me ask you that. Why do we have traditions? Is it wrong to have traditions? We said it's not wrong to have traditions. We have traditions because our father and mother teach us things. Our parents or our pastors or our Sunday school teachers, they teach us things about God's word. And there's nothing wrong with that. When you put your heart and soul into that particular part of it, it becomes a tradition. But there's some dangers in it. The danger is you make God's word of none effect. It cancels it out. If you look at verse 6, in this way, when you say you don't need to honor their parents, you make God's word or cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. We take God's word in here and we say, it's gone. I don't need it. I don't need this anymore as long as I got tradition. The next thing it does, it brings lip service. Where we stand and we honor God with our lips. And God, I love you. Please come and do this great thing for me. Stand there and honor him with my lips. Traditions push our hearts far away from God. How many of you want to be far away from God? I don't. I see it day in and day out. I see people whose hearts are so far away from God. I saw it this week, how far my heart can be from God. And yet, I'm one who stands here on Sunday morning and preaches to you. A person whose heart is far from God only leads someone else far away from God. Jesus said here, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted, so ignore them. Basically, he was telling them, forget them. Walk away from them. Get away from them. They're just blind guides leading another blind. I don't want to have any of you walking down someday and I have to stand before God and say, hey, Matt, you led them down a wrong path. I don't want anybody that I work with or that I come in contact with on the street. Do you? No, I don't think so. You're all shaking your head. No, you don't want to do that either. We don't. Our desire is to be close to God. But he's saying here that if you focus on traditions and you stick to a traditional church or stick to a traditional lifestyle, a traditional way of doing church or being a Christian, you're going to lead somebody else down that wrong path. And eventually fall into a ditch. Or in other words, we may lead them right into the pit of hell. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's talking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. I think that's what hit me so hard, because it would be like me, Lynn, Willis, the leadership team. It might be like Rosedale Mennonite Bible College, coming to Jesus and saying, hey, you know, the leaders, people who teach, Princeton, Yale, all these, Oxford, these big colleges who are teaching people about Jesus, are supposed to be teaching people about Jesus, them coming to Jesus. That's who it was that time of the when they were there. Jesus didn't stop there, though. His message just wasn't for them. He said to it, said to them, and he called the crowd, and he said, basically, so here we are. And I don't know how many people were in this crowd. At the end of this chapter, which we won't get to, there was 5,000 people. So it could have been a matter of, you know, a couple hundred people. It could have been thousands of people. I don't know how many people were there, but he calls to the crowd and he motions to them. I can just see Jesus. Come, come closer. I want you to hear this. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth. These people were blind people. They were just walking and meandering around, following whatever they were told to do. There was no heart for God. There was no worship for God. There was no none of that. And I don't want us to be a church like that. I know your hearts don't want to be like that. You wouldn't be here this morning. Your heart is to be close to God. My heart's to be close to God. These are some dangers that we got to watch out for as a church. The next thing Jesus said, their worship is a farce. Now, I didn't even know what the word farce was, so I had to look it up. It's basically saying that we are pretending to worship. In other words, mocking might be another word for it. So let me ask you, why did the Pharisees and why did the people of Jesus' day go around following traditions? And you can give me some feedback. What do you think? What's that? It's all they knew. Okay? Now wait a minute, I'm going to challenge you there, brother. It's what they were taught. But they also knew that Almighty God was sovereign, that He was the creator of the world, that He destroyed the world with a flood, saved 8 people. These were the same people who saw fire come down from heaven and burn up an altar with a sacrifice on it after 400 idol worshippers or worshippers of Baal cut themselves screaming and yelling and dancing before their God. So they had tradition, and I would agree with that, and that's all they knew. But they also knew there was a God that was powerful, that could see right into their heart. And yet they still stuck on tradition. Why is that? Fear? Control? Yes, Brenda. Yes. It's easy to follow tradition because we're safe in tradition. There is no unknowns in tradition. It's simple. I can stay right in this little box because I don't have to worry about anything because I'm in tradition. And God doesn't want that, church. He doesn't want us sitting in a little box just doing the same old thing day in and day out. Because in that box, in that tradition, there's pride. Because I don't have to go before God. I am just living my life like this. If I stay in this box, I got it all together. I can tell God I've done everything right. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want a church of traditions. He wants a church who is near Him. A church that's in His presence. That's willing to come and just be broken before Him. He does not want a church of traditions. And I'm not saying that you don't have traditions. Don't get me wrong, but He doesn't want us to be using that as our guide. The guide is how close are you to God. This church has already been asked to be rented multiple times to be used for different things, either here or year down the road, whatever. Now that we've got this facility here. What would it be like if when somebody who's never been in this church building before comes walking through that door and immediately they are in the presence of God? We know what happens in the early church when that happened. They either turned around and left, or they said, wow, surely God is in this place and I want to be there. You and I have Almighty God living inside of us. He's living directly inside of us right now. If your faith and trust is in Jesus, and that's all you put your faith in, you're not trying Jesus for some new thing. You're trusting that Jesus is the Son of God and that He paid the price for you. His Spirit lives inside of us. So when we walk out those doors, we should also have the presence of God. So I began to think, okay, God, You've broken my heart this week over and over again. You allowed me to be in Your presence. You allowed me to experience that. That was a sweet time. I wouldn't change that for the world. I told several brothers afterwards as we were talking, and they were saying, what's the matter with you? And I said, you know, I would never want that to change. I'd rather be right there with God all the time in His presence. But I began to think back over our country and countries around the world where revival began to set in. And I began to think back, and I began to do a little research and reading back on how great revivals and how things happened where the Holy Spirit came and swept over a community. And I began to think back in the early church when God did that. They didn't have any of this stuff. They had the stories. They had the traditions. There's something that stuck out. And church, if we want to be a church where God's in our presence, His presence is here where we come, we've got to be a church that's broken. Amen. Broken. When I mean broken, I'm not talking about a little bit of broken, I'm talking completely broken. Our heart has to be wrenched. For the lost, our heart has to be broken before God. God, that anything that's in here is exposed. And He's willing to come and just rip everything out and cleanse us from the inside out. And that's not just a one-time thing. That's not something we do here, just come to the altar, pray, and then that's it. That's an everyday saying, God, examine my heart, change me. We talked about the conference coming up here. We're going to have, I don't know how many people are coming from all over the country. When they come, are they going to say, surely God is in this place? Not in our building, but in Delaware. Surely God is here. And I read a statistic. And I'm not going to get all these numbers actually right. I didn't write it down. But I read a statistic. In China, the church spends an average of 120 minutes a day praying. It's the fastest growing church in the world. I think India is in there as well. In another part of the world, they spend 90 minutes a day praying. Church is growing really well there. In America, you know how many minutes we spend a day praying to God? The average. Not saying us as a church here, but average Americans spend an average of 10 to 15 minutes a day praying. And then we wonder why. God, we want you to do some great stuff for us. We want to be in your presence, but maybe I spend 10 minutes. I thought about it this morning, and we don't have a clock on the back wall there, so I can't look back and say, oh, what time is it now? But so often, how are we, when we come to church, and we say, God, I'm giving you 1 hour. How many hours in a week, anybody know? I can do the math on that. Somebody go with math. 7 times 24. And we come and worship God 1 hour. God, I want to be in your presence. Come during that hour, please. That's not how God is. I posted on Facebook this week, you cannot change the church of God, of Jesus Christ. My English isn't very good, so I think I added an extra 2 in there. And somebody was commenting saying, hey, you know, what are you saying? You cannot change to the church of Jesus Christ. No, I've said you can't change Jesus Christ's church. You can't change his church. We can't take something that God never intended his church to be and make it and say this is what we want to be. We can't do that. By the way, that quote's not from me. That's from another pastor who I heard him say that. You and I can't change that. The question is do we want to be a part of Jesus' church? And I think we all do. I think we should just be careful how much we focus on traditions. Ah, there's the clock. They held it up. It's not hanging up on the wall. I don't know what you heard here this morning. I don't know where your heart's at. I asked the question, how is your heart? I can't see your heart. You know, in Creation of Christ class, we just talked about the heart, that when the Spirit of God comes upon a newborn baby, anybody know when that is? Those of you in the class? When they breathe their first breath. You see, I want to go back to that class just a little bit here. You and I are sitting right here, standing here. You and I are God's finest creation. His magnum opus, that's Latin for finest creation. And when a baby is born and takes its first breath, that is when God breathes his spirit into that baby. And he does that so that on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or Thursday night class or when you're at home reading your Bible, so that you and I can get away from tradition or the things that we grew up doing to do church, so that we can have a relationship with him, so that he can do great things and bring honor and glory to his Father. That's what he does. That's the God we serve. Amen? That's the God we serve. And so he wants us to be near him. He wants us to be in his presence all the time. He longs for that. But if a heart is far from him, if we still have that stony heart, if he hasn't, through his kindness, come in and changed that heart, given us a soft heart that's broken before him, plowed it up, you know, broken it up. Those of you who are planting gardens here soon, you're plowing it up.
That's what God wants. He wants that from us. And he is so gracious. But we can be a church that's full of traditions, that stays into a certain routine and stays in doing certain things, and he's not going to be free to move. And for us as leaders, it's a real challenge to us. We need to be listening. We need to be open. Because I certainly don't want to have to stand before God one day and say that I led my brothers and sisters down the wrong path. And I don't think Lynn or Willis or anybody else that teaches here, Sunday school class, I don't think Sunday school teachers want to do that either. Or when we teach Bible school coming this summer, when kids from the community come in, and we don't want to mislead them either. We want to teach them about a God that loves them as so big, so over all, that can do great and mighty things. Let's not get stuck on tradition. I'm sitting here thinking I'm going to end. And I want to end, I don't even know what time it was. Is that clock actually right? He's sitting there saying yes. But I just said we're not a church of tradition. And Lynn's not here. And I didn't even talk to him or Willis about this, so. I think I would have their blessing on this. I'm going to end the service a little different today. You know, the altar is a place where we do business with God. It's a symbol. It doesn't mean you can't do business with God in your seats. This is an altar, and as I sat here Thursday, I said, man, this altar's not big enough, God. If we're a church that are broken before you, this altar isn't big enough, church. Let me tell you something. I know two people in this, one on the end of this street and one down on this street, that have told me, when I'm ready to meet God and I'm ready to do my business with God, I'll come down to your church. It's not a heart that's broken. But oh, I love them. The fellow I just talked to Saturday, down the street, this altar ain't big enough if God sweeps this community, church. If he sweeps our church and we become a church that is not traditional, that is opening himself up to the work of the Holy Spirit, this church isn't big enough. We'll have to build a bigger building or go into the gym. I don't know. This altar's not big enough. God wants to do business with our hearts. He wants us to be broken. So I'd like to just have everybody bow your head if you want, if you would. The altar is open up here.